With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
The following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. Here are your hosts, Olivia Reiner and Tom Silverstein.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Green 19 podcast. It is the dog days of training camp, Green Bay Packers style 2021. I thought at this point we'd be in a little different situation where Jordan Love would be starting the first preseason game, but mostly because Aaron Rodgers wasn't here. But lo and behold, he's going to be starting the first preseason game anyway. And that starts on Saturday. So I am Tom Silverstein. I am here with our original host, Olivia Reiner, who is just back from Japan. Say hello, Olivia. Can you say hello in Japanese? Did you pick up any language there while you were there?
Konnichiwa. I think I knew that before I left. Okay. I picked up a very little bit of Japanese. I downloaded Duolingo months before I left for Japan with the aspiration of being able to speak a little bit more Japanese. And I was really good about taking my classes, quote unquote classes, in the beginning, and then I kind of fell off, but I did learn, I picked up a little bit and enough to converse with the staff members and volunteers working at the Olympics. If you don't know, I was covering the Tokyo Olympics for USA Today for the past 20 or so days. Probably even a little bit longer than that, because it took a little bit of prep work and I wrote some stories in advance and whatnot. So it's nice to be back in the US. It was a very cool experience, a very different experience because of the pandemic. Of course, I was not able to do very much outside of existing at the hotel and going to the venues, essentially. That was it. So happy to be back, happy to have experienced what I experienced over the last 20 days and hope I can eventually go back at some point in my life.
Yeah. And so don't hold Olivia accountable for anything she says, because she just got back and
please don't
force sleep. Also with us today is Ryan Wood, who has been at every single practice thus far this year. And there's quite a bit to look at as we head into the first preseason game. Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I got to say, the theme yesterday was returns. Kevin King back in pads off the NFI. Kingsley Keke back in pads off the NFI. Kamal Martin back from the knee injury. Isaiah McDuffie, the rookie inside linebacker, had his first practice yesterday. The most impressive return was Olivia, who was and for like 36 hours. And there's no way that she could be even half awake, and there she is on the side. It just about bowled me over when I saw you, Olivia, on the sideline. I couldn't believe it. Hey, you're a warrior. That was impressive.
Ryan turned to me at least once or twice. He was like, "Oh, who is in coverage on that play? Who blah blah blah?" And I was like, "Man, I don't know. I'm hardly here right now. I'm half asleep, half here. So hopefully next week I'll be more useful."
It's good to have that extra set of eyes, though. It was great to have you back.
Well, not when that set of eyes is not good for much, but I appreciate your kindness, Ryan.
I think a couple times Olivia said to me, "It's the Ukrainian rower." And I was like, okay.
get my sports mixed up.
Yeah.
Puts a new definition on green and gold, right?
So, well, here we are. As I was mentioning, the dog days. This is probably for us as reporters, the really the toughest time of training camp is right before the first preseason game, because you've seen so many practices and you've written a lot of stuff, and you need to see some football to understand or to get some decent story ideas for moving forward. So I'll start and just throw it out there for either one of you. What do you want to see on Saturday? What are you interested in seeing on Saturday? What are you going to be looking at?
Yeah, I think the obvious answer is Jordan Love, right? I mean, it's Matt LaFleur said that they're almost treating this a little bit like a regular season game, and that they've got some scheme specific plays in mind for the Texans. They know their coordinators well, what they want to do, but beyond that, Jordan Love is obvious, but I think it's going to be really interesting how many starters don't play, and just we're going to get a clear look at where the line of demarcation is on guys that are competing for jobs and guys that are really, really good. And I think there's going to be a lot of guys that just aren't going to play Saturday night. That's the hunch I have. So I think who doesn't play and who does is going to be really fascinating to keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the two words obviously that come to mind are Jordan Love, start and finish there. Excited to finally see him. We were deprived of preseason games. I think in most circumstances, who really gives a darn about preseason games? Last season, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and now we've got three preseason games upcoming in the 2021 season. So excited to finally see a little bit of Jordan Love in actual action that isn't just in a practice. We get to see what he might look like against some semblance of real competition, even if it is the bottom of the depth chart guys of the Houston Texans. Excited to see that. Also excited to see, I don't know, like special teams, maybe a little bit of special teams with new special teams coordinator Maurice Straighton getting to finally, it's his ship now to write. So we'll get to seeing as, most special teams players are bottom of the depth chart guys anyway, we'll get to see maybe some interesting special teams action. Who knows? But that's what I'm most looking forward to on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think something people have to be aware of, excuse me, going into this is that there's probably an expectation that, they want to see Jordan Love and they want to see him make some big plays. And honest to goodness, it's possible that he might not put up any points. He might not throw for any touchdowns. They might look pretty poor. They might run the ball really well and get down the field that way. But he is, from every sign we've seen, he's a total work in progress. And there's a lot of stuff that is going to be new to him playing in a game. And I think this isn't to make excuses for him. It's to say that the judgment for him will come in the second or third game when he's had a chance to play. He's had a chance to go through all the things that happened during a game and, just play enough that, okay, now a judgment can be made. And I think that can be made in this camp. I just don't think it can be made on Saturday.
I talked about how much certain guys play. I think just from a playing time standpoint, it's going to be fascinating with Jordan Love. I mean, where do you even set the over under on drives that Kurt Benkert gets? Is it going to be the half the fourth quarter, maybe a drive at the end? I wouldn't be shocked if Jordan Love played the entire game from start to finish and Kurt Benkert didn't get a snap. I think it's going to be really interesting to see just how much he's given.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's probably true. I think Benkert will play a series or two at most. This is Jordan Love's game, and they just need him to play. They need him to play, and play some more, because once that regular season starts, he's going to be the backup, and, anything could happen, and they got to get him ready to play. So A couple things that I want to look at, a couple players that have kind of intrigued me. Kylan Hill, the running back, I think is someone to keep an eye on. He has been moving up the depth chart fast, and I would say he's a solid number three right now, just based on practice. They've started using him with the number ones, or at least with Aaron Rodgers. So during the rotation, he gets snaps, and that's more than you could say for Patrick Taylor and Dexter Williams. So that's one guy to keep on. He's a returner, very quick. They might have something there. I also want to see Patrick Taylor, big back. He reminds me of like Eric Dickerson. He's just a big, strong, really well-built running back. Who knows if he can play, but he's really good coming off the bus. Any other positions you guys are looking at?
I think always interested to see how the receivers down the depth chart perform in preseason. I mean, I've got one practice under my belt for this, for training camp, but it was interesting to see Jordan Love and Reggie Bagleton connecting quite a bit yesterday. It looks like they have a little bit of a connection going on between the two of them. And we didn't get to see a ton of Bagleton last season. He has been, along for the ride and could at very least be a candidate for the practice squad this upcoming season. So I'm curious to see him in particular, and to see if that connection translates from practice into an actual preseason game.
I wonder if Jordan Love's got any pull to get Reggie Bagleton on that 53-man roster. Rodgers gets Randall Cobb. And Jordan Love gets Reggie Bagleton. Maybe practice squad. Maybe since he's the backup, it's kind of like the backup of the 53. But Olivia, for one day, you're absolutely right. They have had a Joe Montana, Jerry Rice connection in camp. I can't explain it. I'm not saying they've been at that level, obviously, but it's been like every time that Jordan Love has unleashed a pass, it's been going to 84 without fail. So, that'll be interesting to see if it goes over to games. How about, running back in general? Everyone always asks me, like, the first 2 weeks of camp the first week of camp when they don't even have pads, how do the running backs look? And it's like, how do you know? They're not finishing plays. I mean, that position, you got to see guys get hit, try to force, broken tackles and whatnot. But the offensive line, John Runyon Jr. and Ben Braden have been rotating first team reps at left guard with Elton Jenkins at left tackle throughout. Offensive line play is really hard for me to judge if they're not plays. I mean, you've got to go through the entire, all the way to the whistle. So I think right now Elton Jenkins looks just fine at left tackle. He's been very, at least serviceable there. But the bigger question is, with Elton Jenkins at left tackle, you're losing a Pro Bowl left guard. So who fills that spot if David Bakhtiari can't start the season? That's going to be really interesting to see.
Yeah, no question. Runyon, Braden. I think Lucas Patrick has kind of staked his, himself to the right guard position. He seems to be playing there almost every time the ones come out. And so it's probably going to be Braden versus Runyon. But, there's other guys who can suddenly develop really quickly. And, there's Royce Newman, who's been playing right guard and right tackle. I saw Cole Van Lannen playing left guard yesterday. So he's played left guard, left tackle, right tackle. I wouldn't write him off. I mean, he's one of those Wisconsin guys who just gets it done one way or another. And so we'll see where he goes. Dennis Kelly could conceivably play well enough at right tackle that they decide they want to move Billy Turner back inside to one of the guard spots. And then he becomes one of the top five. So I'll be watching him in pass protection. There's just so many options on the offensive line. And like LaFleur said, there's going to be some guys who haven't been practicing all that well, and then they throw them in a game and all of a sudden they're like bam, they see something or they flash something, and then they start practicing them more. So that's the big thing to watch off the game one. Actually, to me, the most interesting thing about game one is the Monday that follows, because then you see all the shifting of the depth chart. And then it happens the week after that too. And you start to get an idea of who they like more than the others.
I think from a depth chart standpoint, cornerback is really intriguing.
Yes, Ryan.
You got your top four there, you know, and that's pretty much going to be set in stone, right? But five, six, maybe seven, you've got basically what, four guys for two or three spots. And there's Josh Jackson, former second round pick. He's in that group. Kadar Hallman, a former draft pick, is in that group. Shamar Jean Charles, the rookie this year. And to me, maybe one of the risers of camp, Kavion Into, who's not a former draft pick, of the four guys there, he's the one that was undrafted. Those four guys for two or three spots, you know, Tom, like you said, that Monday after, how that cornerback depth chart after those top four of Jaire Alexander, Kevin King, Eric Stokes, Chandon Sullivan, how that works itself out is really going to be interesting to me.
Yeah, Ryan, and as you were mentioning earlier in our discussion here, how are those reps divided on Saturday night among those four competing for those roster spots? How are those reps divided, and how is that going to shake out as we can progress through preseason? How are they going to continue to divide up those reps? Will that be a reflection of what they think of those cornerbacks? Those are all things I think we're going to want to keep an eye on Saturday night.
Yeah, there are a lot of things to watch in the secondary. You know, what kind of was interesting to me was, one, I thought Josh Jackson's had a pretty good camp. And, you know, the thing with him is he's got to do it on the field. It's always been what happens when the lights come on and, you know, the ball's in the air. So that is said with a caveat about his good camp. But what really struck me was when Jerry Gray all but stumped for Shamar Jean Charles on Sunday and just raved about what a good player he is in the slot. It was almost like he was preparing everybody for, hey, don't be surprised if this guy is getting some playing time. He was really high on him. And then, of course, Stokes is a work in progress. I mean, he's got a lot of work to do. You can see the athleticism, but and the speed, but, you know, he is really rawer than I thought he would be coming in.
You know, it's amazing to me, Tom, how different year, same story, Josh Jackson getting first team reps. I mean, it's just, no matter what happens from September to January, here he is in August and he's getting first team reps. It's the same thing. It's been the same thing every year. I think what's interesting is with those four guys, you know, you've got slot guys and Kadar Hallman and Jean Charles, and you've got perimeter guys and Kavion Into and Josh Jackson. So you've got different skill sets among those four. So where do they value and how do they evaluate the top of that depth chart and what they've got there? Are they more likely to go with the slot guys? Do they just go best player? That's going to be a kind of a subplot with when it comes to picking who was on the 53 at the bottom of the quarterback depth chart.
Yeah. Another, it's not really a subplot, but an angle to this whole thing is, has Jaire Alexander gotten good enough that he can cover Davante Adams on his own? Because in the last few practices, he's just been, I hate to say dominant, because that's, you know, we tend to use that word too loosely. But, you know, in a 2-minute drill, he blankets Adams down the sideline, you know, on a deep ball that 88% of the corners probably wouldn't have stopped. And then he breaks up a deep ball in the second to last play on it to MVS. And he's just all over the place. It's been pretty impressive to watch him grow.
Yeah. If you're Joe Barry, you're probably like, yay, right? Like, yeah. You must be excited about what Jaire Alexander can do on on one side of the field, but imagine the opportunity that opens up on the other side of the field when you know that, okay, I can trust that Alexander is going to take care of, you know, he can be in man over here. Just imagine what we can do on the other side of the field, the flexibility that they're going to have in the secondary to devote resources to that side of the field. I think that can open up a lot of opportunity for the Packers, the secondary over there.
It's been kind of eye-opening too, to see the difference when Jaire Alexander covers Devontae and when a rookie like Eric Stokes covers Devontae. They're just night. And I mean, you talk about baptism by fire. So it's a big difference.
Yeah. You know, one thing I caught during one of the practices, and we haven't really talked about Joe Barry and his new defensive scheme. And I don't think there's going to be a lot you're going to be able to tell in the first game regarding his scheme. You know, like with Pettine or Capers, you'd see them run some blitzes that were, you know, they're going to run during the season. This guy isn't a big blitzer. But one thing I did notice was, and Rodgers has talked about this, is them disguising coverages. And one of the things I kind of noticed was on one particular play, you know, Jaire Alexander was up looking like he's in man lockdown. And, you know, if you're the quarterback, you look at that and you go, okay, you know, Jaire Alexander on this guy, probably need to go somewhere else. And then just before the snap, he bails out and moves into his own. And, you know, they start shifting guys over to take away the other wide receiver that he thought was going to be open. And I think that's kind of the basis of Joe Barry's scheme, is that you want to make it look like it's one thing and then it turns out to be something else. So that'll be kind of something to watch.
How much, I still feel like it's going to be awfully vanilla though, right? Like, how much do you think they'll actually show in the preseason?
Well, they got to practice some stuff because, man, they have not, I mean, maybe some of that stuff they'll practice against the Jets when they come in, but you've got to, in a new scheme, you got to do something live. I mean, you don't have to, like LaFleur said, you don't have to throw a lot of wrinkles, but you better play your foundation and the things that you're going to do, because going to that first game against New Orleans and you don't know exactly how you fit and everything like that, you're going to get scorched. So they will have to show something, I think. So we've talked about Joe Barry up front, you know, with the linebacker position. We'll continue to see, I think, Devondre Campbell is solidifying himself in the middle with Chris Barnes. That'll be something to watch. And up front, not a lot has changed. I don't think we'll see much of Za'Darius Smith, and we won't see any Za'Darius Smith. I don't know how much Preston Smith we're going to see. I don't think we're going to see Rashawn Gary, who's been out, I think it was with a hamstring. So, anything else on?
The groin for him.
Groin, yeah. Anything else on defense? Either are you going to be watching?
No, they're high on Devondre Campbell. They sure seem to be. Matt LaFleur, I forget how he described Devondre Campbell, basically saying he's all over the place and he's on fire. I mean, they seem really high on him. So I think that, you know, if he does debut Saturday, which I remember, was it Matt LaFleur's first preseason game in 2019? It was a game against Baltimore where they had like 25 guys out. Like it wouldn't surprise me if that's how it is Saturday night.
Yeah.
If Devondre Campbell does play at all, it's going to be interesting to see his debut, I think.
I know, yeah. I've been living under a rock for the last month or so, but what happened to Kamal Martin? I mean, he's been pushed so far down the depth chart, it feels like, behind Oren Burks. Obviously, you know, I'm just curious to know what happened there and to see how many reps he's going to get on Saturday night when compared to Oren Burks and Ty Summers, who conceivably last season he was ahead of those guys.
We asked Kirk Olivadotti that exact question, Olivia, what happened to Kamal Martin? And he played it off like, what do you mean? Not only is he fallen down the depth chart, they moved him to outside linebacker too. And so, you know, and he was back at inside linebacker working there yesterday or on Thursday's practice, but that's how far he's fallen. And, you know, he had the knee injury as well, but that's a great question because I think coming into the season, you fully would expect that Kamal Martin be no worse than the third inside linebacker, no worse than that. And he's fallen down.
Yeah, we were hoping maybe there was some buzz in Japan about what happened there because we have no clue. It was a mystery. You know, it started from the beginning of camp. He obviously, something didn't click for him in this defense during the offseason because right from the beginning, Ty Summers and Oren Burks were ahead of him and with the second team, and it was Campbell and Barnes. So I'm not sure what's going on there.
That's interesting. The only buzz I was hearing over in Japan were the cicadas. Oh. So unfortunately, nothing about Kamal Martin. But it's funny, I mean, getting relegated to the outside linebackers group, and I don't mean that as a slight on Mike Smith or anybody, but that's the experience. That's what Oren Burks went through last year too, was that stint with the outside linebackers. And here he is back with the inside linebackers. Perhaps that's what Kamal Martin needs to get back to the ways that they want him to be. But again, I don't really understand what happened or went wrong. And it doesn't seem like either of you do either.
No. And I will, I was laughing about this with Pete the other day, was so Joe Barry had Oren Burks, I think it was yesterday, with the dime defense as his lone linebacker. He'd been using Chris Barnes a lot, and he just did what every single defensive coordinator who's had Oren Burks did, which is, oh my God, this guy can run and he can cover so much ground. We got to try him there. And then they'll get in the game and, you know, he'll blow a coverage or something. And then it'll like, okay, let's get back to Chris Barnes. So we did get to see that, and I'll bet you we see that on Saturday some, where he's the lone dime linebacker, and then he's going to go the wrong way, and we'll see Chris Barnes back there.
What? So, why wouldn't they try Devondre Campbell there if they really like his coverage? Because Matt LaFleur's been talking about how long he is and how he can cover and all that. Why wouldn't they try him as the dime linebacker?
I don't know. That's a good question, and that could still be part of it. You know, I'm not really sure. Barnes gives you a little bit more, I think he's more of a tackler and, you know, a little more sideline to sideline, where it's Campbell is more of an up the field cover guy. So that could be, it could be either, but yeah, Campbell couldn't, he's really long. He could play the zones, you know, he could take away some throwing lanes. So we'll see. That could happen.
Barnes is so dang smart too. I think one of the more impressive things I've heard in camp was when Kirk Olivadotti was asked about that, you know, that very standard question with second year guys, how much is the game slowing down for them in this, you know, second year compared to the first year? And he was like, man, not much for Chris Barnes, because he was already there as a rookie. Like that was how he was. I mean, it's been pretty much the same. Like that's kind of how that's why he earned that starting job so soon. So I mean, I get that you want that in dime especially, but I'd be interested in seeing if they eventually know Devondre Campbell as their cover guy.
Yeah, you know, there's certain guys who can just come in and have the high football IQ. And Chris Barnes is one of those. I think Amari Rodgers is one of those guys. And I think that's allowed him to get a lot of snaps with the ones. And he'll be another guy to keep an eye on. We didn't mention him, especially returns. But really in the offense, doing all that jet sweep stuff, I'm kind of that'll be something to watch as well. So we'll have a lot more to talk about after the game, but this is just, we wanted to give you a little bit of a preview of the first preseason game, and we'll be back probably Monday morning to give you a roundup of the game. So hopefully you enjoyed it, and don't forget to go to Packers News for our previews of the game, During the game, I will be back doing the live blog. So go to PackersNews.com for that. We'll be starting at about 6:30 on Saturday. And then we'll have everything after the game too, including, I think we'll have some Facebook Live. Is that correct, Olivia, before the game?
Yeah, back in action.
Yep. So there's all kinds of ways for you to stay connected to the Packers and this first preseason game. So for Olivia and Ryan, I'm Tom, and we will catch you next time.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.